Joe presents Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby, together with Guinness.
Hello, and you're very welcome to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby here on Joe, together with yummy, yummy, delicious Guinness. No Barry Murphy today, no Flannery, but we do have the wonderful Ian Constantine.
Constantine. Oh, yeah, don't worry, you're not the only person that gets that wrong.
Yeah, Munster winger, Ireland winger, Air Sport analyst extraordinaire.
I wouldn't say that.
Too much?
A bit too much of an intro, but I did like it.
Too much.
Good.
Fair enough. We're going to put you to the test today, Eimear. You're our resident expert, our Japanese expert. Or so you claim. I don't mean to be so hard-hitting so early in the podcast, but by the way, we are only audio today. We're not video, so I'm not offended. I don't know. Are you offended?
I think I am after the live show last week.
The live show? What's the fallout from the live show been?
Oh, so good. I went into work the next day and the girls actually could not believe that I met Greg O'Shea. Nothing about rugby, nothing about anything else other than the fact that I was in the same photo as Greg O'Shea. So, look, if that's the main point out of it, yeah. Success.
And you got tagged as well?
We all
got tagged.
Yeah, delighted.
It was a big night for our Instagram following.
It really was.
Massively.
And I think they got a few teenage girls as well that... Off they'd follow me because they follow Greg and all that, and
we all
got a few more followers, which was great.
It's a great night for us, wasn't it?
Really successful. We should definitely do it again.
Are we famous now? Because we know Greg.
Because we're friends with Greg.
I think we're famous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that settles it. Anyway, so I'm going to put you to the test this morning. So you've been living and breathing the Rugby World Cup. You're our resident expert today, and Ireland played Japan, or the Brave Blossoms, as they're known as. Did you know that?
I did, but I keep forgetting all the nicknames. There's those Sunwolves we were speaking about a while ago, and the Bears, aren't they? Russia, there's so many different names. But
yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. Anyway, Ireland are playing Japan on Saturday morning, the Brave Blossoms. So I want to see how much you know about this Japanese team. So we're going to play a game.
Oh, God.
It's called Brave Blossom or Scared Conifer.
Okay, I'm really excited for this one.
Okay, so I'm going to give you a series of names of people who may or may not have featured for Japan in the World Cup so far. And you have to decide, very simply, are they a Brave Blossom or are they a Scared Conifer?
Okay.
So it's quickfire, by the way. We'll try and keep it quickfire. And any pronunciations on my part may or may not be...
I'll help you with that.
Fine.
I am the expert.
It may be a red herring. Anyway, first up, Rory Best.
The conifer, Scared Conifer.
Yes.
I was like, wait, what's the word?
Correct, Ireland captain. Kotaro Matsushima.
The winger, he's a Brave Blossom.
He's a Brave Blossom, he is. Mali Hingano.
Either it's your pronunciation or I haven't a clue. The other one, the conifer.
He is a conifer, yes. He's the centre that's set to start for Tonga against Argentina on Saturday. Asiele Valu.
Scared Conifer.
No, incorrect. That's your first wrong answer. He's a Japanese. I just had to look at it. I couldn't remember. I wrote the quiz and I couldn't remember. He's a Japanese tight head that's on the bench on Saturday. So, okay, this is where it gets difficult. Rikishi.
He's a Brave Blossom.
No, he's not. He's an American-born WWF wrestler.
Oh, I was so sure about that one. I really had you convinced.
You were quick. Yeah. You were very quick for that one. No, he's the two-time World Tag Team Champion. He's the one-time Intercontinental Champion. And he's the one-time WWE Tag Team Champion. He's a big name, Eimear.
Okay, I really should know all that stuff about
him. That's fine.
Stinkface was his finisher.
Stinkface, that's right, yeah. E-Honda.
No, the other one, not Brave Blossom.
Yeah, he's a Scared Conifer, very much so. He was a fake character, a sumo wrestler in Street Fighter 2.
I imagine with the Honda name there, so
I'm
glad I didn't fall for that one.
Yeah, absolutely. He's the one that did the 100 hand slap.
Oh yeah, I actually remember that one.
Yeah.
I actually do, my brother was obsessed with it.
Yeah. So Daisuke Ohata.
Brave Blossom.
Okay, technicality. Currently his status is a Scared Conifer, but he was at one stage a Brave Blossom. He is a retired Blossom, a Japanese winger, holds the record for the most international tries in world rugby at 69 in just 58 test appearances.
You're getting really geeky here.
But he...
I didn't think this was part of it.
I'm sorry. He retired in 2006, so technically you're incorrect, Eimear. But that could happen very easily. I'm going to rush through the next three because we've got to get on. We've got to get on with the rugby. So Mr. Miyagi, Bruce Lee and Bundy Aki.
They're Scared Conifers.
They're all Scared Conifers, mm-hmm, in very different contexts.
In different, I'm glad. I got those three correct.
Yeah.
Add that to my score.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Well, we're not keeping a score. We'll review it afterwards. Six out of how many were there in total?
10?
8.
I thought you did great.
Yeah.
The Rikishi one, though.
I'm glad I didn't fall for the Honda one. That would have been awful.
I think the Rikishi one will haunt you.
Yeah, it will.
Yeah, stink face. So maybe your nickname with the girls in school might change. You might be stink face.
No, I don't think so. I think I'm stuck with the other one forever and
what
ever.
What is it? Eminator?
The Eminator.
So, did you get that from Airsport? Is that from the advert?
Of course it is. The ad is on like every 2 minutes on every single channel.
So. I'm very out of touch, by the way. We don't get Airsport up north.
Oh my God, you're actually lucky. I'm sick of it myself. The amount of tweets that have come in recently saying like, when is that Airsport, that ad going to come off the TV? And how annoying is that ad? And I'm actually liking the tweets at this stage because I'm done with it.
Yeah, oh, you've gone full circle.
Yeah,
you've tried to
it was great. And then now I'm totally over it. Yeah. Now that it started, it can go away.
Okay, so you're over the advert. Are you... Not over the World Cup, but has it took a bit of a lull?
I'm actually, the more the World Cup is going on, I'm actually so jealous of the people that are going over and the amount of Instagram stories I'm seeing and Snapchat stories of people actually in Japan. So I think there was a huge start the first weekend with obviously the opening ceremony in Japan playing and then obviously the New Zealand South Africa game and the Irish game. But then you go to work Monday to Friday and then you're hearing of all these crazy stuff that happened midweek and people are asking you, did you see the game? But you're like, no, I was at work. Or
yeah.
So much happens in a week in the Rugby World Cup, and it's like trying to cram everything in to try and figure out what happened and who beat what and what shocks have happened. So
have work been accommodating for you to get in? So were you on Monday? No,
I wasn't. No, I was in. You're I'm going to be weekend. In next Monday, and I was in last Friday.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like I can't do everything, and there's obviously enough people there to cover all the shows anyway. So it's fine.
So and even today, you were able to get off okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I was lucky.
No problem. No problem. They're the famous teacher.
That's it. They're sick of me. They're actually used to me not being there.
Yeah. Anyway, so the team was announced this morning and there's a few changes, four changes, significant changes. Johnny Sexton hasn't pulled through. He obviously passed on the kicking duties to Conor Murray. So Jack Carty starts at 10. Jordan Larmour's on the bench. Rob Kearney starts at 15. Andrew Conway's out. Keith Earls is in. And Bundy Aki, who failed the HIA. Has been replaced by Chris Farrell.
I think that there's some surprises in there and some not surprises. I think Rob Kearney will be delighted to get his jersey back after last weekend. You know, I think the good thing about last weekend is the lads that came on actually stepped up and there was no lull in performance because they were technically your second starters. When Chris Farrell came on, he had a great game.
And
that amazing offload, I think everyone will talk about that. I think... Dave Kilcoyne was on during the week making fun of him about how he's more than just a crash baller. He said it in some press conference.
That is a lovely thing to be made fun of.
Yeah.
For a beautiful bit of skill.
Yeah, it really is.
Fine, okay. Take me to task.
In the first, like, he's like, oh, stop talking about my lovely offload. I'm sure he was loving that. But, like, you just, in the first World Cup game to come on and then to do that, I think he could do no wrong forever for the rest of the World Cup and he'll be remembered for that lovely offload.
Yeah, it's nice.
Even if he could, I think he said he should have kicked it through because Stockdale was on his left, but. Look, the offload worked.
But listen, you might not get a highlight reel if you kick it through.
No, never. So. Someone else will do the good work then.
Yeah. So
but,
Earls was never in doubt. He was going to come back in and get another chance.
Like, I think Conway did well. I think he had one drop ball. But look, Earls is like the experience that he has on the
Joey
wing.
Joey loves Earls.
Yeah, he does. And like, he is a great player. But like, and I suppose it's an aerial game, but Conway didn't weaken that last weekend. I suppose it's the experience that they have. Like, I think Ireland have a really bad record playing against the home nation. I think they lost to Australia and they lost to France when they played the home nation in those World Cups in 2003 and 2007. So like, this is a home nation who actually had a decent game the last time, who had a huge upset against South Africa in the last World Cup. So I think looking at the team he's named, he's not taking any risk. Joe's not taking any risk with the team that he's naming. So
no, why? I mean, there would be no reason to throw a few guys out there because, I mean, they've got 3 weeks then until a potential quarterfinal game.
Yeah, and I think these two games probably are the hardest two games and they'll have plenty of time to rest those guys when it comes to the next few games as well. So, but look, I think it's good to have momentum. Like, they won that first game with a really good performance in the forwards and in the backs. And that's good to have momentum as well going into those games and into a quarterfinal where it is going to be a tough opposition either way.
And Jack Carty at 10?
I think he came on and did really well. And I'm glad that Carby didn't step over him and start automatically. I'm not surprised Sexton's not starting, to be honest. You know, like, it's strange that he wasn't kicking and that Conway and that Conor Murray was taking the kicks, because I think you could see he was getting a good bit of attention there. But I think Carty deserved, like, based on his Pro 14 performance last year and all the Champions Cup, I think he played very well with Connacht. And coming into Ireland, probably didn't get a lot of game time in the Six Nations, but has played well, and played well the last day when he came on and kicked that conversion and did some really good place kicks, or some kicks to the touch as well. So
yeah, it'd be nice to see. It's probably be difficult for Carberry coming back from the surgery, having only played one game, then another lengthy time on the sideline with injury. But yeah, so we got the surgery, obviously, and then he's on the bench, so he'll probably get half an hour, and then he'll get kind of bled in kind of slowly over the next couple
of
games.
It is a good way to get back into, like, you don't want to start a World Cup game in your first game back. So I think similar to like Sexton, you know, we didn't start very many of those games in the warm-up games and then started. So I think he'll save Carberry until the latter stage of the tournament.
I would take it, Trimby, that it's a big step up for Carty, isn't it? Back in May, he was our Game of Thrones correspondent. You get him on the phone to talk Game of Thrones, and now here he is starting a game against the tournament host at the World Cup.
Yeah, I don't want to get carried away, but I think we're the best thing that's ever happened, Carty. Yeah.
Are you saying it's all because of you?
I think so. I think we've kickstarted his career.
Yeah, gave him the confidence.
I know Joe Schmidt is a big fan of the podcast, so he would have been impressed with his Game of Thrones insights.
Yeah.
Are you a Game of Thrones fan?
I told you this last week. No, I have not seen... Stop trying to exclude me from the conversation, please, because I can't add anything to it.
Step outside for a minute while Pat and I get to the bottom of this.
Keep going.
So then the only other potential slight change, or not change really, Peter Mahoney fielded the HIA, but he's grand.
Yeah, like, I think being part of a professional setup, you'd know, and people mightn't know this, but it's like a 7-day turn. It's a 7-day, when you're in a professional setup, it's a 7-day turnaround for a HIA. So I think if you're an amateur, it's 21 days.
Oh, is that
so,
right?
Yeah. So at the moment, like, it depends, like, when we go back to club, it's 21 days for a concussion regardless. Whereas if you're in a professional setup, so if I get injured in Six Nations, I have 7 days to get back.
So our professional players' brains less
faster.
Important.
I don't know. I mean,
what's the rationale? What's the logic behind this?
We are more important. That's true. You said it. But I think it's just obviously the cover and the people you have around you. You've people looking at you and doing all that stuff. But
it was only a year and a half ago in my head just to be really important, and now it's
gone to 21 days now. It's not important anymore. Yeah. But I think that, yeah, like, Peter Manny probably passed his HIA and probably weren't going to risk him only for Conan, what, he hurt his foot or something.
That's
in
hilarious.
The warm-up. Did Joe Schmidt actually say that?
I think it was...
Or in training this week.
Yeah, he said someone stepped on his foot, yeah.
But he didn't train because someone stepped on his foot. So that made me think that someone stepped on his foot, like, in the hotel
the
or
breakfast
something.
Breakfast key or something, yeah.
So what is that?
It was probably one of the forwards trying to get some food ahead of him or something, and they are like the front row is trying to get some food ahead
of him. That's a strange excuse. It's
going to be related to food some way.
Yeah, that's like my dog at my homework excuse. You probably had a few of those.
Well, he probably can't say that. You know, it is a World Cup game. So he'll have to think of a better excuse.
Yeah, I think so. Well, look, keep his powder dry anyway and get him round to go for Russia next week. But the only other one, I suppose, was Rory Best. After 80 minutes... You kind of thought maybe they're playing 80 minutes because maybe they're going to rest him this week or give him an opportunity. Got Sean Cronin on the bench, obviously. That makes sense to me. Last 20 minutes, last half hour, bring on a bit of pace to cope with the Japanese style.
Yeah, like, I think that's what the commentators kept saying was, you know, Best is still in the field. He's still in the field. And they kept really, like, Jesus, the amount of times they made reference to his age.
Yeah.
They were nearly expecting, like, to have, like, slippers ready for him as he came off the field. I think someone did say that before. But I think people did expect him to be rested this weekend, and he's not. But again, I don't think Joe has taken this game lightly as well. Bringing on Cronin with time to... I think he probably won't play the full game like he did last week. Although, do you know what? People are talking about his stats, and I know you're an Ulsterman and proud Ulsterman, but they were saying that he, like, you know, did this much carries and this amount of tackles and this amount of line-out throws. He's 12 from 12, but he actually overthrew one, and Andrew Porter had to leap like a salmon at one stage to actually get that.
Porter?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He actually had to leap like a salmon to actually retain that line-out. And I don't think that was really 12 from 12. Yes, I don't think that was part of the plan Andrew Porter was had to do his huge CMJ to catch that line-out. So I will criticise him on that one. And people are talking, they're obviously, it is great. 11 out of 12 is great. And all the metres and the amount of time he had was great. But
I think Rory would argue that he put it exactly right.
He'll probably say it was planned to keep that 12 out of 12.
The perfect leap from Porter, and he wanted to show off Porter's athleticism, I think.
Well, it did.
Yeah,
it really worked.
He's not a man who would be favoured to leap like a salmon.
No, I don't think so.
Porter.
No. So I don't think that was a set move.
I couldn't believe that what game was it? The Wales game at home. I couldn't believe the size of his thighs and his hole.
Oh, yeah.
He looks enormous. We had him on the show last season.
Yeah.
And I don't think when you see him in person, I don't think he looked that big then. He had a big preseason.
Wear the jeans, Where's the jeans and black t-shirt, and he had the hair. That was when the hair was all long and
slick. Stockdale then had something similar.
But you actually see him out there. He's such a big unit, isn't he?
Massive.
Yeah.
Massive. I would have thought actually because he's more versatility now, because he's a loose head, you might potentially have to shed a little bit for that. A little bit more mobile, but...
So maybe that's why he leaped like a salmon.
He left, yeah. Maybe.
But he's not one you expect to get off the ground as quickly as he did.
When you said he leapt like a salmon, I thought, was he an option,
option? No, he actually wasn't. It was an overthrow, and he just came out of nowhere, and he did really well to get it. But that was one of, I think they're not looking at that when they're looking at his stats, if I'm being really picky about it.
Yeah, that might have been actually what we talked in the show actually about how after the England game, we had this setup where Joe Schmidt's missus says to him, Joe, are you sure you've got something up your sleeve here? Because it looks like it's going dreadfully wrong. And maybe Joe's like, don't you worry, I'm going to get Andrew Porter as a line-out option.
Absolutely.
We'll be sweet.
Look, they're throwing everything at it and it's working, so we might as well go with it. He has many more tricks up his sleeve, and I'm really excited to see what he's got up next.
Exactly, I know. So anyway, so this is where things go wrong. We're going to talk about the Japanese team. Michael Leitch dropped from the starting 15.
Yeah, he's their captain. I think that's a big shock. He's captained them in 3 World Cups. So it is a big...
I say dropped. There's no way it would have been communicated to him.
Sorry, he's not dropped. He's dropped onto the bench.
He's rotated.
But they have Matthew coming in, and he had been injured up until now. And I think that...
I think it was Declan Kidney. Or it might have been Les Kidney. Someone, I remember a player was told... it was a roller coaster of emotions. They were told, this week I'm going to start you on the bench. And there, it might have been Matt Williams actually did that. I'm going to start you on the bench. And you're like, oh my goodness, that was so close. I thought I was in there.
There's nothing worse than going back to selection in a World Cup as well, when there is those extra players that don't get picked. And I don't think you see the behind the scenes and the drama of you're dropped to the bench and you're dropped completely. And it's a hard conversation, but it's hard to take as well.
Yeah. What developed in the 2011 World Cup were... It wasn't a split camp at all, but there was very much the dirties and the starters.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the bench more often than not. Actually, every game I was on the bench. So I didn't know where to live. I didn't really have a home. The dirties didn't want me, and midweek night out.
Yeah.
No way, you're playing
on the
weekend.
You're on the match day, yeah.
And
you're...
the starters are like, what are you doing here, mate? You're dirty.
Yeah, you're in between.
Yeah, it was nothing.
Yeah, it's a tough place to be.
It is.
It's even tougher. God, can you imagine... a girl's environment where it's emotion everywhere. God, it was a tough one in a home World Cup.
Hockeys aren't emotional.
Oh, God.
They are not emotional.
Honestly, let's just not go back there. Let's talk about Matthew.
Careful. I might get myself in trouble here if I start talking about...
Matthew coming back in.
Yeah.
So, yes, Michael Leitch is out and Matthew's in. I think he's a big ball carrier. And Leitch has been injured a good bit, though, I think, coming into this World Cup. So it's probably a mixture of that and not having a lot of game time coming into this game. So he'll come off the bench, and... I think Japan are going to need people to come off the bench to finish, to obviously try and keep up with Ireland. You'd hope that Ireland would have the game finished off by that stage.
Yeah. Jiwon Koo and Shota Hori, correct pronunciation, they come in the front row. Luke Thompson gets a start in the second row. Ryohi Yamanaka.
You were making a hint.
Started 15.
You know, so
and
well.
Will Tupu, he moved to the left wing. Obviously, our hero, Katora
Matsushima,
the hat-trick hero.
Yeah,
remains.
He was great the last day.
He was class, wasn't he?
And he'll be one that we'll have to shut down early. But what was really good was the centre, Lafayel. He offloaded twice in contact to actually set him up for those tries.
Uh-huh.
So that was one thing Scotland didn't do last week. And Ireland will have to shut that down early, because they're going to look to get it wide to Matsushima.
Don't kick loosely to him.
No.
Did you see... I'm sure he did. It was the guy who went to Black Rock with Lukey Fitz. What do you call him?
The 15, Artemiev.
The most fatigued looking kick I've ever seen in my life.
If someone in an underage women's game, underage under 12 women's game did that, they'd be pulled by the scruff of the neck off the field. And he captain of the team.
Yeah, he looked exhausted, to be fair.
He really was.
It looked a really tired kick. And that's tough, though, because at that stage, what are you doing? You're not going to kick it straight out, and there's no angle, so you have to just try and go long.
He made the angle worse for himself. He ran towards the sideline and then attempted a right-legged kick instead of just kicking it with your left, or I don't know what he was doing. And they gave possession straight back, and they went and scored straight off that counter-attack. So their counter-attack is dangerous.
Yeah.
And we know that. So you can't kick loosely. You can't kick the ball just straight back to them like that. But they have moved their 15, Yamanaka, to the wing because obviously they're trying to, I suppose, sort out the aerial problem that they have. They don't have a problem there, but they're obviously looking at our wingers and our back three and trying to know that we're going to contest those high balls. So look, that's something different there. Did you know that Luke Thompson is like the oldest player in the World Cup, the actual oldest player?
Oh, really?
It's his fourth World Cup and he's coming on the second row.
How old is he?
Yeah, 39, I think. Right. And what's Rory?
37.
So I wonder how many players in the World Cup are older than Rory.
Well, I hope this guy gets as many mentions as Rory did anyway last week about his age. But I think he's the oldest in the World Cup and this is his fourth World Cup. So he's plenty of experience anyway, that's for sure.
Impressive. It's an impressive innings.
I think Wimpy van der Walt is on the bench and he...
Not a great name,
yeah,
it
is. That's why I remember it. There's not very many of those Japanese names. I think he's South African born. He's on the bench. He started. They swap places this time.
Okay, right. Enough.
Actual rugby talk.
Yeah. But slight change of lanes. This week, Reece Hogg's been banned for 3 weeks, and the refs have actually got a bit of criticism in general from World Rugby.
Yeah. World Rugby came out and criticised their own refs. Yeah.
It's a bit crazy. It happened mid tournament. It's kind of like knock them while they're down.
Yeah. Have you not heard what our directives were? It's a bit weird. So it's to get slapped, and they're the guys who trained up the refs and then they're criticising the refs.
Do you know what, it's probably good that they're doing it mid-tournament, because a lot of the time it's always like, oh, we'll review this post-World Cup and it's too late and there's a ridiculous decision made and it's a World Cup winning decision. So maybe it's good that they're actually reviewing it mid-season, mid-tournament.
Rugby's kind of good for doing that. Remember in the Wales, was the warm-up games as well, there was Bigger was down getting treatment or something like that, and England took a quick, or was it England, were down to 13 men and Bigger took a quick tap and they scored in the corner, and then World Rugby changed those rules to say if someone was down getting treatments. So they sometimes come in very
obviously
quickly.
Someone with England on the committee who isn't happy with that win.
Some blazer,
But
and then this is Thursday, so the USA England game this morning, someone got a clip on the head as well.
First red card of the tournament, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And there was three Samoans. There was two Samoans, that winger that scored the tries and
Lilo. And Lilo.
They both got cited. They were getting cited for those yellow cards. Did they actually get anything? Nothing heard. They were having their hearings, I think, either yesterday or today.
Day or so before you find out how long they're out for. They'll get banned as well.
They're looking into players as well, which is good, I suppose. But we hopefully just it won't be looking into Ireland at any stage.
Yeah. I know O'Driscoll came out and tweeted, drawn attention to one or two referee mistakes or being fairly critical.
You don't want to get them on the bad side of Ireland either.
No.
But did you see the...
This is for Draco.
Did you see the... there's a load of comments going around on Twitter about Artemyev, the 15 for Russia, because he got some whacked his head. He got two really whacked, huge whacks his head off the Samoan wingers. And I think they were making fun about how he must have like a head of steel and that he stayed on and like no HIA, nothing, like absolute head of steel. So I suppose if you can take it as well, it's not that bad. But
the fact that he took one of them and he just got absolutely cleaned out, and then he just got up and just kept going and kept running. And but if he had been splayed out, your man probably would have got a straight card.
So was Artemyev, was his kick shortly after this, because that would explain
no. That was a different game. But one would think that was why he kicked that ball like that. No, this is the next game.
Maybe it was
game.
Just the delayed effect.
It was.
Oh, sorry. Actually, it was ahead of it.
It was ahead of it. But look, we can give him that.
There's no explanation here for
it. No explanation for that kick.
So anyway, right. That's enough rugby. We're gonna. So Match Pint, Pat. Have you downloaded the app?
I've downloaded it this morning. Yeah.
Are you in the league?
Yeah. There's a House of Rugby League going on, and I think the UK guys, Alex and James and Mike and stuff, are all involved in that, I think, over there. But Yeah, so we're going to do an Irish one. I think you're in it already, Trimby, and you're in a Legends League.
Emer, get yourself involved.
But I'm not a legend yet.
Franklin's in it, so probably kind of decent enough.
There is one name I don't recognise in it. I'm not going to name and shame. But I'm sitting second in the Legends League.
That's good, yeah.
Behind David Flatman.
Yeah, those boys are well into it. But yeah, it's...
Jim Hamilton's sitting last.
Is he?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's... I kind of did that this morning because there is a House Rugby League, and so I downloaded that Matchpoint app, and you can join the Air House of Rugby League, and it's the code is HORIE, so HORIE.
He's the Japanese hooker that's starting the weekend.
Yeah, isn't that some coincidence?
He's the code.
So yeah, you just go on, you start predicting the World Cup matches. They have this thing, the Guinness Pint Predictor, and you just kind of predict a win in margins, and then you can win prizes, like a free pint. And they have a load of participating pubs that are all over the country. So
yeah, I only had a look at that this morning, so it's actually handy enough. And I won a free pint.
Did you? Yeah.
And you can win a pint and you can gift a pint to someone else.
Mm.
So I got a code that I'm going to share with the listeners now.
Yeah.
And they can get straight on. Or yeah,
the first listener can do it.
First listener. They're going to rush down to the nearest pub here. The code to get your free pint is small p, small l, 6, small b. So.
Is that for real?
Yeah. Yeah,
Emer, you're finished there, Emer, you can kind of...
Go on, download Matchpoint, and then go on to Pint Predictor, set up an account.
Yeah.
And then I think you type in the code and then it takes you to... There's a load of participating pubs.
Mm.
And you go to whatever one's nearby, give them the code. I think that's the way it works.
Yeah, and then I think we're going to do something then because it's the House of Rugby Irish League then as well. We're going to do a competition and whoever wins maybe gets the highest total of points over one of the rounds because there's rounds during the World Cup. And the winner's going to get a Brian O'Driscoll signed Ireland jersey.
Why?
Yeah, we were thinking that...
Can you contribute a signed jersey?
A prize.
Uh-huh.
I mean, a women's jersey.
Okay.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yes, a signed Brian O'Driscoll Irish rugby jersey. And a women's rugby jersey as well.
Hold on a second, I need to get that jersey. Hang on.
Just try and just nick it out of the dressing room.
Yeah, anyway, so that's match point.
Mm-hmm.
So that's... I suppose people think we're idiots. People think myself and Baz just talk rubbish and just tell stories about what we did at the weekend. But, you know, I think this proves that I know my rugby.
It does. You're well able to read.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I know my rugby well mm-hmm. enough to be sitting second of the league at the minute. I'm sitting 13th in the Baz and Andrews House of Rugby League. So there are 12 listeners thinking I know more than him. We should try and get them on the show. Anyway, so that's match point. Get yourself involved.
I will, for sure.
We'll be back with part B. Part two. Sorry.
You're listening to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby on Joe, together with Guinness.
Before we wrap up this bonus episode, Emer, tell us about the other games this weekend. Any big ones stand out?
So there is the Australia-Wales game this weekend. I think that's probably the biggest one of the weekend. And then the winner hopefully avoids England.
What's your match point prediction for the Wales-Australia game?
I think that Wales had a really easy game to start with and they'll want to build on that. But Australia had a really tough game to start with and didn't play very well. So their momentum isn't great. So I'm thinking Wales will win, but it won't be with a good performance. I think you always need a good, tough game to start with to get you into performing well. So I think Wales will beat Australia.
I've gone Wales by 2 points.
I think Wales by more.
Okay.
Don't know how many more.
Okay.
But more than 2 points.
Okay, grand. And then the other big game, well, quite big game, I suppose, Argentina-Tonga, kicks off at 5:45. Surely to goodness.
I'll be up.
You're not fucking up for that.
No, I'm not working that day.
Yeah.
What I did
for the first weekend, Fiji-Australia, it was the 5:45 one,
yeah,
wasn't
it? Yeah, it was the first game.
And then Fiji were ahead at halftime. So yeah. I think that's become my routine. If they're ahead, I'm not getting up for kickoff. I'm going to get up if it looks like there might be an mm-hmm. upset or people are going to be talking about this game. So if Tonga are ahead at halftime, then I'll watch the second half.
Yeah,
is that fair?
Yeah, I think that is absolutely fair. I don't think there's going to be many joining you. It'll be record and watch it later. Tonga kept with England a little bit for the first like 10 minutes of the game, ran out of steam. And Argentina will be so disappointed after the last game. They were almost... The almost team.
Yeah.
I think Argentina should probably run away with it if they actually made it through physically after that game.
Be interesting to see how Tonga go in the second game because, as you said, they hung in there for 20 minutes. And they kind of go blow for blow. But Fiji, on the other hand, they went well for 60 minutes. But then I think because then the big powerhouse that nation then take them out, then it must have took a lot from Fiji.
Yeah, well,
and then
it
they obviously
did.
Went down to Uruguay.
Yeah,
because so that's it. Same sort of thing might happen.
That's it. You're putting, like, you're throwing everything at that first game to try and win it, and that's what Fiji did, and it didn't happen. And then you take your eye off the ball for a second, and Namibia beat you.
Yeah.
So look, I don't think it'll happen to Tonga. I don't think Tonga will beat Argentina at the weekend.
No.
But
are you in for that? Are you in Air Sport for that?
No, I'm not. I'm on Monday for the Scotland Samoa game.
Okay.
Which will be a good enough game too in our pool as well. It'll be interesting to see how Samoa go.
Yeah. Well, we might get you back then. You'll become a Samoa expert.
Absolutely. Like Samoa. My Japanese expertise.
It'd be, yeah, your level of expertise could just be coming.
Those Islander teams, they're all,
tier,
I'm all about them.
Like that, and you're just like, yeah. Emer, we haven't done our research. Tell us everything about these guys. Tell us who's old, who's not old.
Yeah, grand. Okay, so anyway, we'll be back for another episode in 48 hours' time. Myself and Baz. Baz is away in Dubai at the minute. Living it up. I'd say he was delighted to get away from the twins for a couple of days.
Absolutely.
The honeymoon period is over, well and truly. We'll be looking back at Ireland's game against Japan, and then we'll be looking forward to that Wales Australia game too. So Fla will join us as well. Right, everybody, thanks for listening. If you haven't done so, be sound and give us the show a rating and a review. Cheers to everyone that was involved in making the show this week. Pat, Anya and Emer. This has been Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby together on... Oh no, I'm such a newbie. This has been Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby on Joe together with Guinness. Party on.
Party on.
You were listening to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby on Joe together with Guinness. Drink responsibly. Visit drinkaware.ie for the facts.